This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
He's electric on the field. Now, Xavier Worthy is giving back off the field. Join him December 15th at the Intercontinental KC for Uncork for a Cause. Wine, food, and football fun benefiting the Worthy Ones Foundation. Get your tickets now at uncorkkc.com. This is your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, KFNC FM and AM, HD1 and HD2 Kansas City, in Odyssey Sports Station. Welcome in to Players Only.
Hit somebody in the mouth!
Brought to you by Flight, by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer, and by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station. Online at 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio. Here's Chiefs ambassador and Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Danan Hughes.
What's good, Chiefs Kingdom? We are back in the building, the bi-week version of Players Only, and I am your host, Danan Hughes. You can follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at DAHughesGuy83, and on Instagram at Danan Hughes, and this is the bi-week version. I will not be on the air next week, but I felt it necessary, even though we do not play this Sunday coming up, that we need to recap some things. And first and foremost, we got to recap this Bills game. Remember, the phone lines, text lines are open, 913-586-7965. We'll get to those calls and text messages in the third quarter of the show. But this first quarter is always reserved for a recap. We get to look back, not just at this past game against the Buffalo Bills, but we get maybe a little snapshot of where we are this season up to this point. Obviously 5-4 record wise. Week 10 is upon us, and we played the Buffalo Bills, who basically at this point, I feel like they are like part of the AFC West. We play them twice a year, although once is in the playoffs, but twice a year, just like we play the Raiders and the Broncos and the Chargers. But as it has been the case, the Bills have beaten us again during the regular season. I felt like going into this game, and if you listened to us last week, I said this was the most important regular season matchup against the Bills that I can remember. And part of the reason why was because neither team was in driving position in their division. It wasn't the narrative leading into the game wasn't about first place, home field advantage, tiebreaker, so that the AFC championship would go through either of our stadiums. It was about playoff positioning for them, continuing on a positive note in wins. For us, kind of recognizing that although we won three games in a row here at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium, A lot of people said we weren't really tested. And this was kind of a barometer opportunity to showcase to the rest of the NFL that we are back in the zone, back in the lane, back headed towards where we were last year. And hopefully on our way to ascending to representing the AFC again in the Super Bowl this year in San Francisco. Well, that did not happen. We lost the game 28-21. And although there were some good things that came from that game, it was disappointing to go to Western New York and lose that game, especially in the fashion that it was. I will say, just about every game, there is a time, and you guys have heard me say this, if you listen to the show, if you listen to the broadcast, where the effects of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are alive. And what I mean by that is there is no way, shape, or form that Sean McDermott should have allowed us to have an opportunity at the end of that game to tie the game. They had been the driving force offensively. James Cook ran for over 100 yards. Josh Allen only had 3 incompletions the entire game. Defensively, they had the 1 interception. There's no reason in the world why the way that game unfolded, and when you look at it from a stat standpoint and production standpoint, that we should have had the ball with an opportunity to tie the game. But I feel like sometimes conventional wisdom, common sense, goes out the door when you're playing against 15 and Andy Reid. We've seen it time and time again. The most glaring times have been John Harbaugh with the Baltimore Ravens and only running the ball 5 times in an AFC championship. And the list goes on and on about teams, whether it's decisions that Brendan Staley made when he was the Chargers coach, whether we saw different nuances and coaches getting in their way, the Raiders fumbling away a win at Arrowhead Stadium last year. We get into the minds of coaches where conventional wisdom goes out the door. You don't try a field goal on one side, understanding, okay, kicking a field goal ends the game. But if you look back at earlier this season, the Philadelphia Eagles won a game by a blocked field goal and a return for a touchdown. I believe in this game, and I did not get a chance, we'll hear from Andy Reid post-game interview. I believe that when we scored the touchdown to get to 19 points, we had a choice to kick the extra point and be down by 8, or as we did, we went and went for it, a 2-point conversion to bring the game within 7. I said it right then, and I still believe it. We went for 2 points because I believe Andy Reid was anticipating that if we got another touchdown, we were going for 2 points to win the game, not to kick an extra point to go to overtime. That's the only reason, in my estimation, that you go for 2 points on the previous touchdown that ultimately got us to 21 points. So they were going for the win. If you're Sean McDermott, you had to recognize that kind of mindset. So to have the opportunity with that many seconds left on the clock and by a missed field goal, which had happened in the divisional round playoffs, to reenact that and give us the ball closer to midfield is an egregious mistake that you only make because you are not thinking sensibly. And yet we weren't able to capitalize on it. It did add for some extra drama at the end of the game, but ultimately as we faltered 28-21. I get a chance to go down to the locker room, interview a couple of players, and Andy Reid after every single game. Let's hear from Andy after this loss. All right, here with head coach Andy Reid. Coach, tough loss.
Yeah, that was. Listen, you can't. We had opportunities and we didn't take advantage of them. I've got to make sure that I'm doing my part of this thing and getting the guys the right stuff to run, and I didn't do a great job of that. We've got both sides of the ball. We just need to pick our game up.
Coach, this is the 10th time between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, the storyline coming into this game. A very unique matchup, though, because it wasn't for what most of the time you guys were setting up for home field advantage or an upper hand. It was just kind of a regular season game. That doesn't change anything about this matchup, though.
No, listen, it was competitive. You know, again, you got when you're playing them, you got to take care of opportunities. We didn't do a great job with that.
And you mentioned the opportunities. Going on the road in a hostile environment is tough, but settling for field goals early on instead of the touchdown seemed to be kind of the difference.
Yeah, field goals are a killer in, you know, in a situation in a game like this. So you got to it's good to get the points, but and it was good, great for Bucker because he did a nice job. But you want touchdowns there. That one before halftime, you know, you need to punch it in from the one, and we didn't do a great job with that. And, you know, we had opportunity. We started slow in the second half. You can't do that either.
Coach, a bright spot in this game is Clyde Edwards-Helaire getting back on the field. How big is that for that young man?
Yeah, it's great for him. He's a great kid, and it's good to have him back. He brings good energy.
And you guys got some big chunk plays. It seemed like when you were stretching the field vertically, things were just kind of working. 87 was big. You had Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown coming up with a few huge plays as well.
Yeah, we did. Pat was moving around, making those throws, and he made a couple nice throws, and the guys, you know, ran some good routes. We just have to be more consistent with it and, early.
Coach, last question. 4th and 17, you guys showed some grit. Special teams showing up at the end gave yourselves a shot. Where do you guys go from here with the bye week coming up?
Yeah, so you rest up, and then you get yourself ready for a good Denver team, and we got to make sure that we, like I said, get ourselves right for that. The guys that are nicked up a little bit, take care of business, and then we'll get back on it and get ourselves ready.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach. There you have Andy Reid right after the game. The Buffalo lost 28-21. It's a well-oiled machine. Everything you heard from him, some of it was coach speak, but that's normal. Like, that's not abnormal to be in that circumstance, and you're talking about what you're going to do during the bye week. It's basically an opportunity to press the reset button. We'll talk a little bit more about the bye week later in the show, but ultimately you are doing self-scouting, self-evaluation, tendencies, and any adjustments. There's not going to be full-blown changes that you can make in week 10 of the season. You just have to be able to deal with making slight adjustments, tweaking things where they need to be tweaked, and then put yourself in a position to put your best foot forward going forward for the rest of the season. It's going to be a long run, a long opportunity, not weeks off, especially in the position that we're in now. We're not talking about a number one seed. We're basically talking about getting into the playoffs, which is unfamiliar territory for us as Chiefs fans in the Chiefs kingdom. We've been spoiled in a very good way, but now we got to grind it out, and it starts this week with the self-evaluation. Remember, phone lines, text lines are open, 913-586-7965. I also had a chance to get into the locker room after interviewing Coach Reid and had a chance to talk with Mike Pinnell. All right, thanks. We're here with Mike Pinnell. Mike, I just got a chance to speak with Clyde Edwards-Helaire in regards to his return here. You're in the same circumstance. I mean, how huge is it to be back in a Chiefs uniform?
It's pretty good. You know, just out here playing with guys out at camp and the OTAs with. But I know that we wanted to get the win.
Yeah, tough loss. Against a team, maybe you'll see them later in this season. What was your thoughts on the game? Some missed opportunities out there on both sides of the football.
Yeah, I just think you hit the nail on the head, missed opportunities. But, you know, fortunately enough, I'm pretty sure we'll see these guys again and we'll clean them up.
And now leading into a bye week, not necessarily the way you would like to go into a bye week, but an opportunity to kind of reset, some self-scouting that will be involved, and then you guys can come out guns blazing against the Broncos in a couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we got that kind of unit. We're guys that will go back to the drawing board and put in work. I know this is going to be a good mentality when we come back. I'm excited.
All right, appreciate your time, bro. That's right. Thank you, bro. A man of few words, big man in the middle. Just so you know, there are some backstories in regards to interviewing players, depending on what players are around them. It looks like Chris Jones and Mike Pinnell have a brotherly relationship, fun-loving relationship, and even though both were disappointed in the loss, the guys rib each other when they get interviews. I remember
back in the day with the offensive linemen, they would actually fine each other. Tim Grunhard, Will Shields, all of those guys, Dave Zott, they would fine each other if they were interviewed and those interviews were played. So there's each team is different. I remember the Broncos of the 90s, that they had a strict policy that no offensive lineman would speak in the media at all. So every team has its little quirks and nuances. Fact remains is that a lot of times these guys are very, very gracious at a low point of their day, a low point of their week. Think about it from a human perspective, Chiefs fans. You have worked incessantly through pain, through issues at home, in the locker room, mentally, emotionally, etc., for a common goal, only for at 6:30 p.m. for that goal not to be realized. And then someone or multiple people stick a microphone in your face not 15 minutes after the clock hits zero, and you're supposed to be this composed professional at 22, 25, 30 years old. In the case of Chris Jones, 31, and Travis Kelce, and those guys in their mid-30s. It is tough. I'm not saying – I don't want to see the text messages. That's what they get paid for. That's not part of the case. These guys, most of them coming into the league, would have played the game for free. They would do it. They did it in college. They did it in high school. Now they get paid for it. They also had the same responsibilities back then. So if it's not an argument in college that that's what they get paid for, or back then it's not an argument at the pro level. When we come back, we're going to hit the hot fire, spitfire takes, and a lot has gone on off the field for a lot of guys, and we're going to tackle those next.
You're listening to Players Only with Danan Hughes, brought to you by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer, and by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station, online at 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio, on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
All right, welcome back, Players Only, quarter two, bye week version. I'm your host, Danan Hughes. Phone lines, text lines open, 913-586-7965. This second quarter, we do have the phone lines. I see you, Dan. We'll get to you in the third quarter. Multiple texts, we'll tackle those as next. Some really good questions. Keep them pouring in, especially about what we're going to do, where we are coming into this bye week. But this is the hot fire, spit fire take that, or segment that we have each and every week. And I want to get to a real deep interview, a topic that has been a sensitive topic from a personal standpoint within the league. And let's tackle it now. I had a chance to interview Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who got his first dose of playing time this week, had a couple of carries, but back in the Chiefs jersey.
All right, thanks, guys. Here with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Clyde, welcome back.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, man. It was, you know, good being able to put the Chiefs uniform back on. So it's what I've been looking forward to since the last Super Bowl I was in against San Fran. So, you know, excited to be able to put the Chiefs uniform back on.
Clyde, it's a unique situation around the NFL where guys are able to return to their original teams. It's not the original team of Mike Pinnell, but you and he being able to come back and contribute in that fashion. How big is that for you personally?
Man, personally, I would say, to me, man, I would say I've never climbed Mount Everest, but I feel like it was climbing Mount Everest. So this is something that was like a weight lifted off my shoulders, man. It's something I feel like when I left here last year, it was a situation where I didn't even get a chance to showcase throughout the season. It was getting put on NFI before week one. So it was just one of those things, man, where I knew I needed to showcase or go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But I knew at some point just the things that I showed, the discipline I showed, being able to communicate, with guys who are upstairs with the Chiefs organization, I knew at some point that I was going to be able to get back in the building and be able to put this red back on.
Yeah, it's such a cutthroat business, and I mentioned during the pregame show how some things get overlooked in regards to professionalism, maturity, and there's so many times you hear stories of guys going out of different organizations on a bad note, maybe dogging them, and just not showing that professionalism. So I give you credit, brother, for carrying yourself the way you did and leaving the opportunity for you to come back in this fashion. Was that kind of your mindset as things were unfolding? It can be so detrimental, because you don't know where your career is going,
but
you know how to handle yourself.
Yeah, most definitely. I would say this was just one of the, I wouldn't even say a roadblock. I mean, I would say I've, some people kind of know my story, but I would say I've dealt with more tragedy or more, I guess, vulnerable experiences that some people would say that, you know, they couldn't fathom or be a part of, but I know for a fact, just kind of when I knew all this was kind of unfolding, I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. And for me, the light at the end of the tunnel was being able to put this uniform back on. And even to kind of start that off, man, it was one of those things where Coach Reed and Veach and Clark Hunt, like everybody, they were big on making sure my mental was in the right spot that it needed to be. And that's how ultimately we ended up coming to a decision where, you know, I was able to leave last year, go somewhere, put the pads on, do camp elsewhere, but it was also showcasing that not only was my mental good, but my, you know, my physical was also there, weights, you know, everything was just about showing who I was and who I was going to become on the back end of just the experience. I wouldn't even say this is the back end. Far from the back end of my career. I mean, I'm 26 years old, so I can say I can do this for another 6-7 years easily. But it was just one of those things where I know I want to do these next 6 or 7 years at the Kansas City Chiefs, and they drafted me, they called my name, they put me in the NFL, and being able to showcase that and show that gratitude of this is why I'm here and this is where I want to be, I'm going to make that happen and continue to do that. That's why I was able to be able to get in the situation to put this uniform back on. So I feel like I did the work I needed to do in order to be in this spot talking to you. So feeling good.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, brother, and God bless you, man. It's one of the great stories from a personal perspective, putting football aside. So continue to encourage a bunch of people out there just in your story. Continue blessings.
I got you. All of it. Appreciate it.
I really, really appreciate that. That might be my favorite interview of my career. This is the 6th year I've been in the booth and interviewing players. I'd say this is the 4th year I've been doing it because that first year was COVID. But you guys have heard me talk about it. And this is what I love about having this platform with Players Only, whether I have guys in here in the past, Joe Mays, Sean Barber, a host of other former Chiefs that come in and grace me with their presence and give you a perspective that might be outside of the normal just football fandom. But when you get into the personal side of guys, again, he mentioned it, 26 years old and have gone through so much personally and professionally, not just the pressures of being a first round pick. There's definitely blessings, but the pressures come along with that as well. And then the personal tragedies and the triumphs that he's tried to or had to endure. He's shown himself to be a professional. He's shown himself to be disciplined, as he mentioned. And the professionalism has been rewarded. He did not leave town guns blazing, you know, and throwing people under the bus and whining and crying about opportunities. He was going through things, and organization from Andy to Brett to Mark Donovan to ultimately Clark Hunt, they recognized that and yet left the door open. So a message from a hot fire, spitfire take. One, care about these guys as people. I know it's convenient. It's simple. For the crowd that's out there that I just tune in to hear sports. I want to disconnect from the rest of my life and just hear about sports, and don't want to give any kind of credence, any kind of listening time to personal side stories of what guys are actually going through. Marshawn Nealand took his life, the defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys. Guys go through stuff at 24 years old. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been through a life of different tragedies, and so many other players have done so as well. I'm just encouraging you, care about these guys as people. Listen to them as people. One of the great things about having a platform, whether it's podcasts nowadays or interviews or social media, the way guys utilize it, is that you get an inside scoop on them. And sometimes they may go a little deeper than most people are comfortable doing, and maybe what you've tuned in to think about. And there could be some release. There could be some therapy that is in that. I could see in his eyes as he was talking to me, he was exhaling about something, about things that he had been enduring his entire professional life and of what we know into his college days. And you never know what that exhaling opportunity is. You never know where people that come in on these airwaves are going through personally. And yet they take the time to, by entertaining you on Sundays, Mondays, occasional Thursdays, to have a platform for the rest of their life. And all they ask in a lot of cases is just to be treated like a human. I can remember being in that locker room, and even from the days of after playing football, the most important, the most poignant, the most impactful relationships I've had are not just the Chiefs fans that talk about I was there on Monday Night Football back in 93, and I was there or watched the AFC Championship that you played in or your first touchdown and all that stuff, but those guys that text or meet me on the road or on the plane or in a restaurant around town and just say, hey, man, like, how's your kids? Your son played basketball against my son and he was such a good kid, and your daughters played volleyball or soccer or they were at church camp with your kids. And those stories where it's more about the humanity as opposed to just the football. The football might open up the conversation, but the people who care about you and the fans, and that's the great thing about being in the Chiefs kingdom, is that more times than not, I've met people that cared more about me as a person. And I'm sure that's what Clyde Edwards-Helaire will go through, as well as many others, Chiefs ambassadors around town, caring about us as humans, as fathers, as parents, as dads, as men. And then the appendix of that is that we happen to wear a jersey and play football. So one of the most important and one of the most impactful experiences for me was sitting there with Clyde and allowing him to exhale. So hopefully you got as much of a treat out of it as I do. All right, halftime is up. When we come back, we got the phone lines, text lines open, 913-586-7965. We'll tackle them next.
Listening to Players Only with Dana Hughes, brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer, and by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station, online at 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio, on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Halftime is over. The bye week edition of Players Only. I'm your host, Danon Hughes. Players Only brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer, and by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Merriam's Grand Station, right down the street from this studio. You can look it up at online at 30hop.com. And as a reminder, 30 Hop, they got the Sunday ticket. So make your way over there. It's bye week, but there's other games going on. Have you some of the best boneless wings in town? Don't judge me. I eat boneless wings. We already been through that in the previous weeks, but go ahead and partake at 30 Hop. Well, we got the phone lines, text lines open still, 913-586-7965. Let's go to Dan in KCK.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Yeah, it's a little disappointing guy, right? Tuffet just going to pull it out. You know, good was Kareem Hunt and getting that touchdown and Rasheed Rice. Getting that touchdown, the disappointing was Xavier Worthy. He thought after he almost got drafted by the Bills, he would have a big game. I thought he would light the Bills up for 150 yards. And I agree with you, Danon. I heard on the talk shows, Jason Smith and Mike Francesca, that McDermott should have punted instead of giving Patrick the short field. You know, you think he learned that in the playoff game at Arrowhead. And it was too bad about Marshawn Veland about, all I heard is after midnight, the police are chasing him, and it was too bad. So let's take care of business in 2 weeks. Take care of yourself, Dan.
I appreciate you, Dan. Definitely always the infusion of energy that we need halfway through this show. A loyal listener and caller, Dan, much appreciated. And great points, man. Marshawn Veland, yeah, all accounts, he got into a car chase, but the car chase wasn't because of anything illegal. It was actually in regards to his health and his welfare and family members concerned about him and him making final phone calls to his family before taking his own life. You never know where guys are, and that is such a sad, sad situation. Prayers and condolences go, and we want to lift those up to his family and friends and teammates and everyone in that organization. He's got a lot of brothers that I'm sure would have loved to be there to help him through things. It's the demons caught up with him. So, all right, let's go to Batman, line two.
You know what, brother? All I can tell you is I always listen to you to stop if I can and listen to you when you come in during the week. And I look forward to this show because you are the barometer of our team. I mean, you've been out there on the field. You've been playing with these guys before. You can feel. You ask the right questions. You can feel the atmosphere of the way what smells around there, if they're going to pick it up or if they're not. And this team it's notorious. I mean, I don't know what it is about them, but during the year they have, it seems like unbelievable things happen to them. This time we're ready. I think we got most of the players are not hurt now. You know what I'm saying? And we have all our guns back. These next two games are the critical part of the season. We've got to take the pretenders who could be pretending, which could be the Colts and the Donkeys, which is barely likely. And we could, you know, and we could show who the real contender is, which is us. And all I'm asking you is, like, do you think we're going to need some help or anything on the line? Our offensive line, it seems to be, they can't play together either. Yeah. It seems like one of them is in or out or whatever. But we need to get that line solidified because I got all the confidence in the world in Patrick. And I'm telling you that really as a team, Coach Andy, you know what I said? He comes out the bye pretty hard, doesn't he? You know what I mean? Yeah. We usually are pretty tough out of the bye. And we got right up front, we got those two teams, and then we'll have the Cowboys lurking and all that. But this time in the season, we can go ahead and do what we need to do and go out and be the number one contender because that's what we are. I love your show, and I love you because you're the best. Thank you.
Appreciate that, man. Batman, you are on time, brother. Really appreciated and needed to hear that. I agree. We had some injuries in the game. Juwan Taylor went down. Obviously, Josh Simmons was not on the field. Trey Smith was dealing with a back injury that he was battling through. You can tell by his mannerisms and movements, even in between plays, that he was battling. And a back injury is no joke. So this bye week comes on time in many ways, not just from losing that game, but also getting guys back healthy. They got the full week off, so we can expect the best version as they come into this stretch of must-win games. And that's the earliest that we've ever said that about this Chiefs team. Let's go to Jared in KC.
Hi, Dana. I just wanted to kind of follow up on your little segment on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think that you hit it right on the head. So many times that these players get talked about, not in consideration for them being human beings. You know, Simmons having his issues and Allaire and like you just the guy from Dallas. that I just appreciate the way you go about this. You know, your station is the home of the Chiefs. I think you do an excellent job of representing the Chiefs as a whole, and, you know, keeping it professional as far as not dissing on current players. I think sometimes, you know, that they get treated or, you know, talked about in a poor way, even on the, you know, the station, maybe during the day, which sometimes for me can be aggravating because I think about, hey, these are Kansas Cityans, or, you know, they're in Kansas City, their family, all these different things. So I just, you know, listen to, like, you and Mitch, you guys do an excellent job of expressing these people as human beings and players. And I just wanted to thank you for how you convey that.
I appreciate you, brother. Thanks a lot, Jared. I believe that may be one of the first few times we've heard from you, man. So keep it coming each week, man. We need that infusion of life as well. The text line's open. We got from the 913. Do you think the lack of pass rush and sacks we've seen so far this season is something Spags can address via scheme? Or is it more of a thing people like Chris and George need to win more reps? Yes, both. The answer is both. And I feel like, and this is not like, don't take it that I'm throwing shade at anybody. These guys have accomplished much more in their careers than I ever had. And they are dominant forces. They are guys that have led us to Super Bowls and are guys that, from a playing perspective, when you break the huddle, you look to see where 56 and 95 are. Those are just two examples. But what I do believe is that when we won close games last year to the tune of 11 of them, some things can be overshadowed. And some things you feel like, yeah, I need to give more, but we're still winning. I'm not saying these guys say that. I just think that from a fan's perspective, we could look for more, but we get content when the clock hits zero and what the scoreboard is. Now that the scoreboard is not leaning to our side where we're losing those four games in one score games, now you can look, and this is why the bye week is so, it's imperative that these guys take advantage of the bye week and the coaches, as you mentioned, Spags, addressing it via scheme, because now it's not equating to wins. And you have an opportunity as a player, as a professional, to look in the mirror and see what version of yourself do you want the Chiefs Kingdom, the NFL, and the entire world to see of you. Do you want them to see some lack of effort? Do you want them to see lack of production? Do you want them to see what could have been on the field, what you could have done, as opposed to who you are? You know, there's a lot being said, you know, throughout the course of sports. People say you play for the name on the front of the jersey, not for the back. I disagree. You play for both. And more importantly, you play for the back. And here's why. People may misconstrue this, but I'm going to explain it. The back of the jersey, your name, you play for your family, you play for your personal, not for gain, but you play for your integrity. You play because God gave you that ability, and that back of your name is something you'll carry for the rest of your life. The name on the front, you may bounce to different teams and different leagues, etc. It's important. The Chiefs' name in the front of the jersey is important. It's not minimized, but the back of the name is what you wear for life. The back of the name is the relationships that you have in that locker room. The back of your jersey is, it speaks to who you are as a person, how much sacrifice you're willing to give on the field for the next person. And that's important as well. And sometimes looking in the mirror and recognizing which guy you want people to see, which guy you want your teammates and your coaches to see, which guy you want the organization to see, is just as important. And that's where this bye week has to be. And there is nothing in me that says that these guys are not going to have the self-reflecting opportunities or take advantage of that self-reflection like they should and come out guns blazing after this bye week against the Donkeys. Speaking of the Donkeys, after we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about them and the upcoming opponents. It is must-win time in Kansas City. Rare, rare time we're speaking about it as early as week 10.
You're listening to Players Only with Danan Hughes, brought to you by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer. and by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station. Online at 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio. On your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Fourth quarter, Players Only. I'm your host, Danen Hughes. Brought to you by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer, and 30 Hop in Lee's Summit, Merriam's Grand Station, online at 30hop.com. Fourth quarter of this bi-week version of Players Only. The text lines from the 816. God bless Danen. God bless you right back. Appreciate y'all. From a flashback to that Bills game from the 816, we were 3 of 13 on third downs. That's ball game. Yes, and we also had a couple of field goals. I have my keys to the game that I shoot out right before kickoff, and you cannot go on the road, especially in a hostile environment like there, against a team like the Buffalo Bills and settle for field goals. That is probably one of the top recipes for disaster on the road, and it jumped up and bit us. From the 816, they love Clyde. That is justifiable. I agree. Clyde is a gem of a human being. To be transparent in that fashion, it tells you about the makeup of that young man. 913, mental health for athletes needs to be talked about more, I think. I 100% agree. I will say this. Unfortunately, we do not necessarily live in a society as a whole, not necessarily the Chiefs Kingdom, but as a whole, that has much empathy for athletes and entertainers and what they go through. So sometimes, as I'm sure there were listeners here that wanted to hear about the X's and O's and complain on social media about what the Chiefs didn't do and who's not showing up and all the negatives, because maybe they lost some money on the game, maybe their fantasy football team didn't win, whatever it is. And then we've heard that with Josh Simmons and his departure. More times than not, I will say, from a fan base, there's been more on the positive side than the negative, but there's still those people out there that just want the shut up and dribble, the shut up and throw and catch and run and tackle from athletes and could care less about anything else that's happening. These guys are wearing some burdens, just like many people in our society that work at Cerner, that work at different companies around this great area of this country. And we have to be mindful and have empathy when it applies, whenever possible. With that being said, I see from the text line that an 816 that Antonio Brown was arrested. I don't know how true that is. I'll check it after I get off the air. But if that's the case, that's another example, obviously going and turning left in regards to attempted murder charges or anything physical. But the same mental health likely applies to Antonio Brown, and there's been many examples of that. So empathy, outreaching empathy, those arms extended to embrace guys from a human perspective. I have 5 children. All my youngest is 24 years old. All of my kids are either older than or around the same age as a lot of these professional athletes. You've heard me say there are no such thing as dumb athletes. There are athletes that do dumb things, just like there are humans and people that work in the corporate America and in politics, and in healthcare, and everywhere else that do dumb things, say dumb things. And maybe we should have more empathy as opposed to judgment. All right. Speaking of judgment, we're at a bye week. And before we go off the air, just got a couple of minutes left. Going through some grades. I don't have the time to go deep into the grading, but this is the day that I did not like as a student. Outside of math class and PE. But I got to give these guys some grades. So let's start on the defensive side. The defensive line, there's more gas in the tank. There's more meat on the bone that these guys can tackle. literally and figuratively. But I will say from a defensive line perspective, giving them a grade of a C at this point is likely where I am, just off the cuff. When you consider the leaders and where they are, there definitely are some bright spots. Ashton Gelati as a rookie, where he is and the ample opportunities he's getting. George Karlaftis, his numbers as well. But I think there's so much more. The expectations are high. From a linebacking standpoint, I'm going to give them a B+. Nick Bolton leading the team with 75 tackles so far and what we've seen from the others. Defensive backs, I'm going to give them a B. I'd like to see more turnovers forced. Balls get thrown in the air. Let's get those snatched out on our side. Offensive line with the injuries, we'll say C+. Running backs, we'll say C. More gas in the tank. Tight ends, C+. Wide receivers, I'm going to say a B. Maybe I'm a little biased there, so don't judge me on that. Quarterback play, given that Patrick Mahomes has thrown those 5 interceptions, 2 of those off the hands of his own players, I'm going to say it's a B+ effort from the quarterback position. So much more that we can do, and we have just about a half a season to correct it. It starts with the Donkeys next week. I will not be on air next week before that game, but likely coming back to you before we head down to Dallas for Thanksgiving, or I should say before we come back home and play the Colts in a very important game, and hopefully we have righted the ship at that point. So for Julio, I am Danan Hughes, Players Only, out for these 2 weeks. We'll come back in winning fashion. Appreciate y'all. Peace.
You're listening to Players Only with Danan Hughes, brought to you by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer. And by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station. Online at 30hop.com. Local beer. American Eats. Big Patio. On your home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.